This morning we would like to speak to you about prophecies. I want to read verses 15 through 21 of 2 Peter in the first chapter. It says, I will endeavor that ye may, and I'm skipping to the last part of that verse, have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunning devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but he was an eyewitness. And it says, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard. Verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Verse 20. Knowing this first, no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So this morning I would like to talk just a little bit about the prophecies in the Word of God. Prophecies are really predictions about future events, and we have prophecies of the end of time. There are many prophecies in the Word of God. Prophecies are special messages from God, and it is the divine will of God that man understand the prophecies. I read a statement that said, all truth and revelations is prophecy. So there will be some words that are given in the Word of God that we might not look at and say that is prophecy, but if it is of the truth and it is a revelation, then it would be counted as a prophecy from that voice of heaven. There were different ways of expression of prophecies. There were, we know of, a voice, God's voice directly from heaven. He gave Abraham the prophecy of faith, instructing him how to go and where to go. So that was the voice of God that simply spoke. We know that there were voices of angels. That was a method that was used to give prophecies. There were dreams. We know about Daniel, that Daniel received a dream of future events that were to take place. Joseph received a dream. It was a future event. Then there were those that had visions. And in all of these, there were, not all of these, but a human being was involved in giving many times the prophecy to mankind. And the scripture said there, the prophets of old as we read in the scripture, they gave the prophecies. They gave the messages of God. And then I would say that today there are still messages from heaven, messages from God. We may repeat the prophecies for this generation to affirm, to encourage faith, to encourage the belief in God's word. So we would say that God is still using the human vehicle to promote his message in the earth. So prophecies are through and by, as the scripture said that we read, by the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. And it is speaking to all of mankind. It's intended for all to know the truth. It's intended for all to be saved and to be a part of that prophecy of Jesus Christ. It's intended for people to believe it. So it is a great benefit. It's a great profit that you and I have to be able to study the prophets and the prophecies. But when we do and when we seek after it, we need to seek for a right interpretation. For the scripture that I read said it is not of a private interpretation. It was just holy men of old that were moved by the Holy Ghost. They were inspired. And so we, you and I, must also be moved by the Holy Ghost for the interpretation. All divine prophecies are of the truth. That's what I've already spoken that. Divine prophecies come to pass. If there is a prediction or a prophecy, and it is by the will of man and not the will of the Spirit, it will not come to pass. I remember when I was growing up, and I don't say this to condemn, I think we're all human, and we look at the events of the world and can make a judgment on it. But we had a minister that made a prophecy that had to do with our nation and the political world. I remember as a young person being very fearful because it wasn't said once, it was said a number of times, and so we were expecting this horrible event, and it never came to pass. So I think that when we do minister and are affected by the events of our society and the world, we need to be careful and determine and interpret properly what is really prophecy from heaven, and not just our own interpretation of the events of the world. But in the Old Testament, there were many prophecies, and I'm just going to name a few because it is of truth and it is of revelation and it is divinely inspired, was divinely inspired. The captivity of the Jews was prophesied long before it took place. The destruction of Jerusalem, the destruction of Babylon, it was prophesied before it took place, but it came to pass. And then, of course, we know there were many prophecies of the Messiah, predicting, foretelling the future event of his birth, even the place of his birth, even the vehicle in which he would be born. Many, many prophecies we can point to in the Old Testament, and it came to pass. In the New Testament, we have prophecies. Prophecies, and I'm going to refer to just a few, that refer to the last great day. And it is identified as the day of the Lord. It's called the day of reckoning. It is called the judgment day. And it has not come to pass yet. It is still an event that is in the future. And there are misinterpretations of these prophecies. These prophecies that are misinterpreted, it produces false teachings. And it misguides individuals. And oftentimes, misinterpreted prophecies and misguided interpretations will give false hope. Misinterpretations are a result of a false spirit. And I want to say, namely, Satan. The scripture tells us that Satan wants to appear as an angel of light. He is a deceiver. And if he can take the words of prophecy and twist it just a little bit, and people begin to believe that, people can be led into deception. One of those misinterpretations is the millennial reign. It's a very common prophecy used in our society, in the religious world. Another is of the rapture. That word is not in the Bible. As a matter of fact, millennial reign is not either. But those are misguided, misinterpreted. It was of someone's private interpretation. And both of those will give false hope to a soul. In what way is there false hope? It presents to the mind that there's a second chance. That if you miss it the first time, you'll have another chance. That comes from the pits of hell. So someone was misguided. Someone had an interpretation of the scriptures, and it was their personal, private, the scripture says, private interpretation. Another one is the 1,000-year reign. Another one is the war in heaven. And so by these misguided and private interpretations of these prophecies, men are led astray. And you and I today, we will all be misguided without the Holy Spirit. It is only by the Holy Spirit that a true interpretation of a divine prophecy that we can know the truth. And God, in His great goodness and in His mercy, He provided that for you and me and for all that would believe. Jesus said to His disciples, "I must go away, but I'm going to send you a comforter. And the office will be that He will lead you and guide you into all truth." Thank the Lord. Divine prophecies are truth. So I want to go to 2 Peter now, the third chapter. I want to read the first 10 verses. The heading on that page in my Bible says it is the certainty of Christ's coming to judgment. Certainty. It will happen. It has not happened yet. There has not been a generation that has met the end of time like it is predicted in the Bible. So you and I are still waiting for the fulfillment of this prophecy. In these first 10 verses, you and I are told to have our minds stirred up, to remember the words by the holy prophets and the apostles. And it says that you and I need to be aware of skeptics, of scoffers that can have a great effect. This is all in these 10 verses. They can misguide souls. The scripture here says that these individuals are willingly ignorant. That their question is, where is the promise of His coming? Everything has been the same since the fathers fell asleep. In other words, other generations have passed on, and it still hasn't happened. So maybe it is not going to happen. In these scriptures, you and I are reminded of the judgment that is coming on the earth. It is spoken of the judgment in Noah's time. How that it said that there was water that was reserved unto that judgment. But verse 7 here says, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." Don't be ignorant. This has not been fulfilled. It is coming. It is a prophesied event. It is true. It is not going to be an earth that is burned over, as we're going to read. It is going to be burned up. You and I are not to be confused about the promises of God. Verse 10, let's read it. It says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up." So the day of the Lord is yet to come. I'm sure that there were many words, prophecies that were written that were not all put into the Bible as you and I are able to read. But what we have is sufficient. It is enough. It should be enough for us to believe it and to be prepared for it. There are many warnings of this time to come, of this great, last great day, many warnings. So it is enough for you and me to believe it. This day should not come upon us unaware. We should not be shocked that it could happen in our day. We should be looking for it. Verse 12 in that third chapter of 2 Peter says that you and I should be looking for this day with desire. So I said that the Lord was very good, had a great goodness to give divine prophecies, to make people aware and to know that when it came to pass that it was from heaven and not from man. So today we receive these prophecies of old. And even today, I believe God sends dreams, and I believe He sends visions, and it will not be anything different from the Word of God. If you hear of someone that has had a dream or a vision that doesn't coordinate with the Word of God, you must not listen. You must reject it. And sometimes when we have a dream or a vision, it is not something that is sent around the world, such as all of the prophecies of the Word of God. It is sent around the world. But we can have the privilege of hearing an affirmation of the prophecies in our day. Someone having a dream or a vision. This morning I want to read some things to you. Some things that were written over 50 years ago. And it might help us to see how God was trying to send that ray of light in a world of darkness. Trying to get people to awaken and see that there is a coming of the Lord and that there are events that are leading up to it and that there are situations or vile wickedness of this world that we sometimes just get accustomed to. Do you ever feel that you'll never be shocked again? Sometimes you will hear something in the news and you think, will I ever be shocked again? And then maybe sometimes later, here is something more and you find you're still shocked again. Sister Rose's request this morning should be shocking to us all that anyone even that closely related, having heard the Word of God, would be thinking in those terms. That should shock us. And yet, we have to know the events that are leading up to the prophecy of the coming of the Lord. He's still coming. He's still coming. Yes. April the 3rd, 1965. For those of you that are too young to remember this, there was a radio commentator that we all like to listen to. He just had a short little portion at the noontime news, and then he had another portion a little bit longer in the evening at the 6 o'clock news. His name was Paul Harvey. He's been gone a long time. But he had a little vision, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, I'm just going to read some highlights of what he wrote. He wrote an article, he said, "If I were the devil," it has merit. Yes, I know that he was considering some political issues of our country, but he also had a vision of the immorality of our land. And we've come 53 years past that. And some of you were born in the midst of this backward, sliding, slippery slope where our society is vile and wicked and unclean and abomination. You've grown up in it. It's very hard for us to see the real sinfulness of it when it's all around us in our life. But those that are older, we knew a different time. We knew a time when morals were meant something, at least to the majority. There were those in the minority that we didn't really know what it was, but we knew it was bad. The things that are so common today and that the world is wanting you and me to accept, it was very little spoken of in our time. But with our young people today, it is in the airwaves. It is all around us. And you and I are in that place that is spoken of in Revelations, where the saints are compassed about with wickedness and darkness. And that happened just before the coming of the Lord, just before Jesus came. That's what was to be the setting of this world. We still believe that the scripture says, "Where sin doth abound, my grace doth much more abound." We believe it. You can still be saved. You can still get saved in this dark time. It's available still. It hasn't been cut off. It's still there. What Paul Harvey said, he said, "If I were the devil, I mean if I were the prince of darkness, I would want to engulf the whole earth in darkness. I would have 4/5 of its population, but I would not be happy until I had seized the ripest apple in the tree. So I should set about however necessary to take over the United States." He had a high regard for the United States, but he saw where it was going. Our society, just before the end of the time, this is happening. We've got to guard our souls. You've got to see sin as exceedingly sinful. You cannot look at sin today and pet it or touch it or even feel sorry for those that are in it. You must have a vision that will help them get out of it. We must not take pleasure in those that commit sin, or we will be guilty of the sin. We cannot take pleasure in what we see, even in our loved ones. We cannot do it. So he said if he were the devil, he'd set his eyes on the United States. And he said, and with the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper, the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what is bad is good and what is good is square. You probably haven't even heard that word square, you younger people. Square just meant stupid, foolish. It was a term that was used in the 1960s or before. Square. Oh, you're square. Well, that's a new term for your ears probably this morning. So he said he would try to make this out that bad was good and good was square. Well, what does the scripture say? Were there words that would tell me that is true? There is. The Old Testament tells me that they would call evil good and good evil. And are we there? Absolutely, we are there. We must discern between good and evil and clean and unclean. And the scripture said that the priest should teach the difference. We need to keep teaching this. We don't want to let down because our next generation might get caught up in it and might think, oh, this that seems so bad is really not so bad. It's really good. We must always say, sin is bad. Righteousness is good. But those that are holy are being called bad today. The Christian is being put down as the evil one. So, is it still happening today after 53 years? Skip on down. If I were the devil, I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I would or could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I've told this before. We were up at Guthrie, and it was at the old library, Carnegie Library, and they were having a reenactment of the Marriage of the Two Territories. I don't know if any of you might have been there when you were in school. It was interesting. But you know, the speeches that were given that day opened my eyes. Did you know you have to have the Holy Spirit open your eyes? Because if you just grew up in it, you don't really see it until the Holy Spirit shows you the wickedness of it. And I grew up in this part. Oklahoma was a dry state. It was against the law to produce liquor. It was against the law to have liquor by the drink. And anyone that was bootlegging could be arrested and put in prison. Bootlegging is when you make your own liquor or whiskey out in the woods, usually, or in a secret place. But the history of our state changed. The people began to want legalized liquor by the drink. And they would go into restaurants and they would say, they called it liquor by the wink. And so when the waitress would come up, they'd do this. And she knew what they wanted. And they secretly produced liquor by the wink. And that became the slogan for that particular election. It was the people of Oklahoma wanting it. It was liquor by the drink, not liquor by the wink. That was the slogan. It passed. Then we had liquor stores. When I grew up, we did not have liquor stores. So, the devil. Paul Harvey says, if I were the devil, I would sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. People that had authority. People that could change the laws. And the laws were changed, and Oklahoma was no longer a dry state. I ask you a question. Could we have an election today and recall that? Would that be possible? It would not be possible. It's like water over the dam. The dam has broken. You cannot call back that water that has gone on. All you can do is keep yourself. That's all. You can stand for what is right. You can denounce the wickedness. But did it stop there? Did it stop with the liquor by the drink and the alcohol freely sold now in Sam's? Not here yet, but it's coming. It's just around the corner that will be available in regular stores. Now we have casinos. It never stops. It's always ongoing. And we're faced with the prophecy that Jesus is coming again. He's coming back for a people that is pure, without spot, without wrinkle. He's coming back for a righteous people that have kept themselves from the wickedness of this world, that has walked in holiness and righteousness, that has believed the prophecies. He went on and he said, I would designate an atheist to front for me before the highest courts in the land, and I would get preachers to say, she's right. The courts are right. I would get the courts to rule what I construe as against God and in favor of pornography. And that word was here in 53 years ago. Where is it today? It is greater than it's ever, ever, ever been before. People are caught up in pornography like never before in history. Do you believe that? The Lord is coming. This is what's happening just before the Lord comes. But Paul Harvey said, if I were the devil, I would do this. I'd in favor of pornography, and thus I would evict God from the courthouse, and then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress, and then in his own churches, I would substitute philosophies for religion. And that's not all. I'm just reading you parts of it. And we see it. 53 years later, we're seeing it happen. Now I have one more thing, and if you will please bear with me, I'm almost through. But my heart is heavy this morning because I believe what the scripture said here in Peter, that we need to be stirred up in our minds by way of remembrance, that we will be mindful of the words that were spoken by the holy prophets, that this thing is not of a private interpretation. The holy men of old were moved by the Holy Ghost, and all of the prophecies have been fulfilled but this one, and we must believe in this one, and we must live for this one prophecy. This is a track. I just happened to come across it this last week in my files. I hadn't read it in a long time. I wonder how many of you have this track, and if you remember reading it, and the title of it is Just Before Jesus Comes. Has anybody read this one before? It's very important that our young people have this track, really for all of us. I'm only going to read the highlights of it for the sake of time. This track, would you believe, came out of China. This was not written by someone in the United States. It does not have the author on it. It was printed by the Faith Publishing Company. And as far as I know, it is much older than possibly 60 years. But let's see if we can identify some of the things that this person was able to discern by the Holy Spirit, say 60 years ago. It could be longer than 60 years. I tried to investigate to find out how long this tract had been out, and probably 60 years or more. So it starts out and it speaks about what is in the Word of God. It says before the coming of the Lord, there would be a great falling away first. I'm not going to give the scriptures. You can look them up if you want. There would be evil men and imposters, and they would wax worse and worse, and there would be perilous times in the last days. There would be an apostasy, and it would be a breaking down of faith, a denial of the power of God in Holy Ghost experience. There is also a denial of the supernatural working of God in regeneration or salvation. Deliverance, in other words. There is a breaking down of people believing you can be set free from sin. Do we see that today? Or is it just, well, all you need to do is just believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're saved. It's much more than that, folks. It's much more. We mustn't be moved away from the Bible and what it teaches, that God has power to deliver from sin and God has power to keep you from sin. We must keep that. Young people, believe it. If you don't have it fully set in your heart, seek the Lord and say, Lord, give me conviction of this truth. So that's happening. There's also a denial of the supernatural working of God in regeneration and definite answers to prayer. Is there not a contest that God doesn't answer prayer? We went through a time in our age that they tried to say God was dead. We went for years. Anybody else remember that? That God was dead? They promoted that in our society, in the news, and everywhere. It was young people that were promoting God's dead. He doesn't answer prayer. He's dead. How many people were affected, and now they are possibly grandparents of children? And how did it affect their children? And how did it affect their grandchildren if they believed God was dead? We are then to expect great deceptions and delusions, deceiving, if it were possible, the very elect, and the Word of God says that. We may also expect great advances in forms of godliness in the last days. Faith will not become low through worldliness and the denial of the scriptures only. He's not saying here that it won't affect your faith and it won't affect the scriptures only. It won't be just through worldliness, but also through the remarkable imitative or imitation faiths. Are there imitation faiths out there? Are we in the midst of that? And it will work on in their deceptive power. And these movements will become an unseen influence in the air around us. And the atmosphere will be peopled with evil spirits, heavy with depressions from hell. These evil spirits will do their utmost to injure, mislead. What have we been talking about this morning? Being misled, misinterpretations. That's where we are. Let's say this was 60 years old. If it was then, where is it today? To mislead, confuse, and depress the children of God. Our bodies will be afflicted. It will press in on our minds and becloud our souls. All kinds of strange feelings and new and peculiar trials will come to us. A surprising lack of desire and energy Godward. Are you contested? Do you feel the contest every day? Pressing in on your mind. Pressing in even on your energy. Do you feel it? That's where we are. A spiritual deadness, a mental heaviness, a lethargy of soul, an alarming desire for forbidden things. I want to tell you something. Forbidden things have never been more available. You and I are so accustomed to the internet. We need it. We use it. Beneficially, we can use it. But I'm telling you, you're going to have to guard your soul. The enemy, Paul Harvey, didn't have that foresight. He would have added it. He would have said, if I were the devil, I would invent the internet. Wouldn't he? Wouldn't that have been something he would have said if that had even been available? Or we didn't have that. Oh, Lord, help us. It will be very difficult to preach the word in liberty and power. Can I tell you that is true? Can I tell you how hard it is to get a message today? Can I tell you how easy it was when I started? Can I tell you that many times I don't even have it till Sunday morning? I want to tell you it's the enemy. I was battling last night. I could not sleep. I was battling. I could not get the mind of the Lord. And all of a sudden, the Lord reminded me again, I've told you, you've got to pray against the kingdom of Satan more. And when I would pray against the kingdom of Satan, I would get a peace. But my mind couldn't retain it. I want to tell you, we're down to the end. We have to strive to enter in. You're going to have to pray more against the kingdom of Satan than ever before. It will be very difficult to preach the word in liberty and power, and it will be very difficult to give attention to the word when it is preached. Do you have trouble with your mind wandering a little bit when the word is going forth? Rebuke the devil. He's trying to hinder the word of God from coming into your life and helping you this next week. It will be very difficult to get real earnest and continue in prayer. Are you contested when you pray? Do you feel your mind wondering about different things tomorrow, the work that you have tomorrow? I want to tell you, it is hard for me. And I don't go to a job. I have housework. I do other things. And I get down to pray. And many times I have to get a tablet. And when something comes to my mind that is a distraction, I have to write it down and go on praying. You have to draw your mind in from the cares of life, from the affairs of life, from the troubles of life. I want to tell you that enemy is going to plague our minds with heartaches and troubles and sorrows, even that we witness in other people. It's going to be difficult to get real earnest and continue in prayer. This is the atmosphere in which we must battle as the last days darken around us. Satan will no doubt bring a mysterious power to bear upon our minds and our wills, which will make it difficult to walk closely with God and very easy to live in the flesh. This is where we are, and this is maybe 60 years old. If it was that way then, where would we be now? We will be amazed at the power that he can use against us, and it will become very hard to serve God faithfully and to pray earnestly, for it will seem as if everything without us and almost everything within us has conspired to keep us from following Christ all of the way and to influence us to compromise. Have you seen compromise around? Can you identify compromise? You must have a vision. You must keep your vision clear. We will be surrounded by a worldly atmosphere that will render prayer half-hearted and that will deaden our spiritual senses. It will become very easy to slip out of communion with God and harder than ever to keep communication open between our souls and heaven. Already we feel the beginning of this influence in the inrush of these things upon us. That's what this writer said. They felt it. Worldliness in various forms weaves its ever-expounding power over many congregations. He moves out of the personal battles and he begins to say, I suppose it's a he, the writer begins to say, something is going to happen in congregations. Things are not only allowed, but are unblushingly organized. Yes, organized now, which would not have been possible a generation ago. The craze of the drama and the exciting round of pleasure is catered to in connection with many places of worship in the destroying of deep spirituality and bringing an end to revivals and furtherance of the spirit of compromise. Did you get a hold of that statement? It was a bit long. It says that the drama is going to be affected in congregations. Is that happening? Or do you know? Are you aware? If you take the newspaper, you'll be able to see how they advertise their programs. Ballet in churches. In Oklahoma City. We've read it. A church of God, if you will. Not with us. An Anderson Church of God is promoting or did promote a ballet for their message. It was a ballet that was to demonstrate the message. Why did that have to happen? Because the people were dead. The people have lost their spiritual life. And that's what's going to happen just before Jesus comes. It's not going to. It is happening. So drama is going to be part of the places of worship. How did anyone be able to foretell that 60 some years ago? It's beyond me. And we're seeing it happen. There is a terrible decline of faith and true religion all over the world at this moment. And that's all I'm going to read. I'm going to close this morning now with the scripture in 2 Peter 3, and I'm going to read verses 11 and 14. And this is for us. The message this morning is concerning prophecies and how they came to pass. And this prophecy that Jesus is coming again will come to pass. And the conditions of the world has been prophesied in the Word. This happened to be a vehicle of somebody else, Paul Harvey, some man that was able to have some kind of a vision of our society. But the ultimate question for you and me is, seeing then that all of these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? And then skip down to 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, you know, don't be shocked. Pray against the devil. Pray against the kingdom of Satan. Pray against the evil. Pray for your loved ones. Pray for yourself first. Remember, you have to pray for yourself first. We must be praying as the Lord comes. So as we see these things, we look for such things. Be diligent that ye may be found in Him in peace, without spot and blameless. I cannot thank the Lord enough that He had mercy on me and gave me something. I have a charge. I have a charge from God to feed the church of God. And you may not look at this and say, well, what kind of food is that? It's to help us. It's to help us to be ready when the coming of the Lord is at a moment's notice, or not even a notice. When that trump sounds, it will be too late to pray. Don't allow what the enemy is bringing in to our country and our society, don't allow it to affect your life. Don't allow it to affect your thoughts. Don't allow it to affect your vision. Keep yourself in the love of God. Keep pure and holy and righteous. His power is such that He will keep you. But you must also keep yourself. Pray for me.